Thank you very much, Laurie. And hello, everyone. This is Regina, and I am here for the 7 Steps to Awakening. And I always love coming in on Super Bowl Sunday and finding out who forwent the game to come into the sanctuary. And I remember I said that I think it was last year. I said, oh, so none of you guys are watching the Super Bowl, huh? And I think Dove wrote in the room something about the TV was also on, so he was kind of doing both. But it's good to see you all. I never have been much of one. You know, I'm not interested in football. If I wasn't here, I would be sitting upstairs with my boyfriend just to be sitting upstairs with my boyfriend as he watches it. But I have no interest in the game. I don't even have interest in the Academy Awards that follow the game. So it's easy for me to show up on Sunday night, even on Super Bowl Sunday. But it's wonderful to see you all. Tonight, as we look at the 7 Steps to Awakening, we are going to begin with quote number 703. So let me post the link to that in the room. Now this, of course, the link goes to 703 in my journal, which is what I wrote as I contemplated 703 in the 7 Steps to Awakening. And we'll start looking at that in just a moment. But as you all know, I love to take a little bit of silence before starting the teaching, and I take the silence to music, just so people know that there is sound in the room, so people come in and are confident that they have sound. So I'm just looking to see what song. You know what? I think I'll go ahead and play the Muslim Peace Prayer. How's that sound? We played that here in the sanctuary for the first time last Monday morning when we were doing the prayer vigil with James Twyman, and I really like it. So why don't we play the Muslim Peace Prayer, be still for a moment, and then we'll come back and start looking at the 7 Steps to Awakening. Thank you for joining me in that moment of silence to music. So as I mentioned, we're going to start with quote 703 from the 7 Steps to Awakening. This is coming from the Yoga Vasistha originally. And this is quote 703. When incorrect perception has come to an end, and when the sun of self-knowledge arises in the heart, know that the mind is reduced to naught. It is not seen again. Oh yeah, Lynn, I saw that Lynn was not here, but thank you. I saw that as soon as I came in the room, so I was prepared. Again, 703. When incorrect perception has come to an end, and when the sun of self-knowledge arises in the heart, know that the mind is reduced to naught. That's N-A-U-G-H-T. It is not seen again. So let me share with you from my journal. Interpretation that confuses reality and unreality is the source of delusion. Interpretation that clarifies reality is the means of awakening. In no interpretation, one is awake and without mind. I remember when I used to feel, of course, once upon a time, I didn't even know what ego was. But once I started studying A Course in Miracles and I started learning what ego is and what Holy Spirit is, I thought that awakening would be listening only to the Holy Spirit. And my goal, of course, was to learn not to listen to the ego, and to listen only to the Holy Spirit. And I practiced moving in this direction vigilantly for years. And I experienced increasing success towards that goal. I experienced increasing success towards letting go of listening to ego in my own mind, hearing Holy Spirit in my own mind, embracing and following Holy Spirit in my mind. And all this time, I thought that when I was hearing only one voice, that I would be awake. I thought that was it. That was the pinnacle. And then one day I was in Facebook, and I don't remember all of the details anymore, but I was in Facebook, and I got into a conversation with a man in India. And he said something, I don't even remember now what he said, because of course he knew nothing, you know, about my goal to listen only to Holy Spirit or any of that. So he wasn't even talking in that language. I don't remember what he said. I wish I could. But he said something. When suddenly the shift occurred in me, and I realized the truth was beyond the Holy Spirit. I realized that Holy Spirit was the bridge. And of course, the Course says this, by the way. But I realized that the Holy Spirit was not the goal. The Holy Spirit was the means. The Holy Spirit was the bridge. And the goal was beyond the Holy Spirit. Awakening was beyond the Holy Spirit. In fact, I even realized that what I truly am is beyond the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is born in me. And that was a pretty profound shift. It began to change everything about my practice, first of all. I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've ever told this story before, so I don't know that I have the words yet to put it into. So I'm searching my mind for words. And what do I say? First of all, in my practice of shifting from the ego to the Holy Spirit and listening to only one voice, I was still in the realm of thought. There was thought that pointed away from truth, and that is what I would call ego. And there was thought that pointed towards truth, and that is what I will call Holy Spirit. But there was only thought. And there was no awareness yet that all thought is form, that all thought is temporary, that all thought ultimately is not reality, and that all thought arises and dies away in that which I am. When I thought that the goal was to listen only to one voice, again as the end point, that also put the goal out into the future always. Because, hello my love, because there was this idea in it that I wanted to get to the point where I 100% of the time listened to Holy Spirit and never, ever, ever listened to ego, which meant every single time I would listen to ego, you know, kind of the timer started over again. You know, like you're at a new you have to start over again, you know. Not in a failure type of way, but just that the idea that I had was that awakening was listening to only one voice. And so if I ever slipped at all and listened to ego, I just wasn't there yet. Boy, I don't know how else to say that. When the shift occurred, that I realized that truth is the spaciousness in which both ego and Holy Spirit appear and disappear. There was this realization that it's always, always here. There was this realization that it doesn't really have to be achieved. Not in the same way that you have to achieve learning to listen to only one voice. And then there began to come this realization that at any point, in any moment, I could let go of thought and be present to beingness in what I'm going to call an awake way. You know, I'm really playing around with my words here because it's very difficult to say what I want to say without it being something that could be misinterpreted if somebody wants to hear something different. For example, if you know me well, then you know that I do not ever say that I am awake. And yet at the same time, the realization was that awakeness is always here. It's always present. And that we can only be distracted away from it. In one breath, I'm telling you that when I thought that listening to Holy Spirit, only Holy Spirit, was the goal, and I said that kept putting it off in the future, it had to be achieved, right? Although, in a way, letting go of interpretation, letting go of being caught up in thought, in a way, needs to be achieved. I mean, you need to shift away from thought. It's different. I don't know how to explain that it's different, but it's different because it can happen in any moment. It's not really something I have to build up to and work towards. In fact, do I have the teachings of Inner Ramana nearby? Let me see if I do. I'm in a temporary office, so everything is different. Ah, here we go. Here we go. Let me see if I can find the message that, because the teachings of Inner Ramana, I think, probably says what I'm trying to say better than I do, if I can find the correct message. But I don't know the, believe it or not, even though I wrote this book down, I don't know it well enough to know exactly when I think of it, when I'm thinking of a certain sentence, I say, oh, I know that Inner Ramana said that. I have trouble finding it in the book. I guess I did turn to it. Maybe I have not as much trouble as I thought. Listen to what Inner Ramana says here on page 76. Inner Ramana is talking about ideas that keep us from letting go of the I thought. Ideas that keep us from letting go of the I thought. And so listen to this. Another idea that crosses your mind, when I say you must extinguish you to know me, is that this will be difficult. This is not true. If you look at the idea, this will be difficult, you will see it is only an idea. If you hold up the idea and shout that it is true, you are attached to the idea, because you are holding on to it. But if you let go of the idea, it will go away. The idea has no life, and so it can have no attachments. The idea is not attached to you. You are attached to it. If you let it go, it will go. Because an idea cannot have a desire on its own that will cause it to stay. So this idea, when I had the idea that I had to learn to listen to only one voice, other ideas that were built into that was the idea that I had to achieve this, and that if I in any moment listened to ego, then of course in that, then I wasn't achieving only one voice. I mean, only one voice, you got to hear the only in that. So listening to ego at all would be not yet. Not yet listening to only one voice. So it was off in the future. It had to be achieved. When I realized that the awakeness is here now, then what I also realized is that any moment I can let go of any idea and it is done. Right now. It is done right now. The letting go is done right now. There wasn't some perfection I had to get to before I could say I was there. So if right now I get upset at one of you guys for something that you write on the board, and I get annoyed, and I, even if I snap at you, in the moment that I see that, in the moment that I hear myself snapping at you, in that moment I can let it go. I can let go of any idea at all. Any idea that caused me to be annoyed. Any idea that I shouldn't have been annoyed. Any idea that I'm guilty for being annoyed. Any idea that I failed. I'm not listening to only one voice because I listen to ego. I can let go of any idea now. And it disappears into awakeness. And that's what I mean by easier. I don't have to achieve some perfection someday in order to be there. I can be here now at any time. And there's nothing that I can do that can take that away from me. Because it's always present, it's always here, it's always now. So that was a pretty big shift for me to realize that the goal was not to listen to only one voice. That the goal, if you call it that, was to realize that I am beyond all form, including the Holy Spirit. Again, when I speak of the Holy Spirit, I'm speaking of a thought system. And A Course in Miracles calls it that too, a thought system. There is the Holy Spirit thought system. There is the ego thought system. And I am beyond thought. I am that which thought arises in, and that which thought leaves or dies or fades away from. If we equate thought to mind, and we do, ego thought would be the wrong mind. Holy Spirit thought would be the right mind. But I am beyond mind. I am before mind. And I am after mind. So we listen to this quote from the Yoga Vasistha. It says, when incorrect perception has come to an end, incorrect perception would be perception seen through the lens of the ego thought system. When incorrect perception has come to an end, and when the sun of self-knowledge arises in the heart. Notice the second part of this sentence isn't referring to true perception through perception seen through the Holy Spirit thought system. No, the second part of this sentence is referring to self-knowledge. Even the Course says that knowledge is beyond true perception. So this quote is pointing to the realization of what I am as that which is beyond all thought, that which is beyond all form, that which all thought appears in, that which all form appears in. When incorrect perception has come to an end, and when the sun of self-knowledge arises in the heart, know that the mind is reduced to naught. It is not seen again. So in the journal, while contemplating this, I wrote, interpretation that confuses reality and unreality is the source of delusion. Just today I was cooking, and I was having fun cooking for Ron while he's getting ready to watch the Super Bowl. And there was a very keen realization that I enjoy playing house. There was a very keen realization that I am playing house. There was a very keen realization. I remember walking across the kitchen floor. I was actually looking down at my feet walking across the kitchen floor and realizing that this playing house is fun. But it's not real. It's fun and I like it and I enjoy it, but it's not reality. It's temporary. When we interpret our experience and form to be reality, we take things too seriously. We suffer. We try to control. We try to make things be our way because they have to be our way in order for us to be happy or to be safe. But if we know it's not reality, sure, it's being experienced now. But it's not reality. It's temporary. Like thought, it arises in me, lives its short life, and then dies in me, and that I continue, I am beyond this form, then we can enjoy it. This morning, right now there's a lot of change happening in the house. I mentioned to you that I'm in a temporary office. And that's because, of course, Danielle just moved out, vacating a couple of rooms. Where my office used to be, my boyfriend is turning it into a gym. And I am moving into Danielle's old room. That's going to be my new office. The furniture is coming tomorrow. And this morning, my boyfriend was hanging a picture in the office that I wanted hung. And it was very high, and he was standing on this chair because I actually lent my ladder, lent my ladder to Danielle's house. So we didn't have the ladder. So he's standing up on this chair and stretching to hang this picture very high that I wanted. And he was dropping things and making mistakes, and I was just laughing and laughing and laughing. I thought, isn't it funny how much fun this is for me? I wasn't laughing at him. I was having fun. I was having fun even with, you know, something that the mind once upon a time would have thought was not perfect. And I think because I was having fun, he was okay with it too. He didn't get frustrated with the challenge that he was having. But I've noticed that about myself. I've noticed that I'm having fun. I'm having fun with everything. Even those things that the mind, if the mind was allowed to interpret, the mind would say it's not supposed to be this way. And that having fun is coming from a sense that is rising and becoming stronger and stronger in me. The sense, well, I had told Mikey to keep the ladder as long as he needed it, Francine. And I told Ron that that's what I have done. So he knows that. But it was kind of funny watching Ron trying to work up high without a ladder today. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh, the sense of fun comes from, and it's not an intellectual knowledge. It's this sense, this intuition that everything is here temporarily. Everything is very, very temporary, but what I am is not temporary. And somehow that allows me to enjoy everything. I mentioned recently, probably in a different teaching, but I think I recently mentioned that I couldn't remember the word, so I called it rheumatism, but I don't have rheumatism. I think I have what they call bursitis. I've always had it since I've been an adult, and my mother has it. And what happens when I have it is that if the weather is going back and forth from warm to cold and warm to cold, which it does here in Pueblo, and it's been doing it lately, like yesterday was warm, today was cold, my hips, there's bags in my hips, I guess. I don't know exactly what bursitis is, but they swell and they get very sore. And like after I'm sitting and I get up and I try to walk, you know, I just can't quite get going right away. I have to kind of walk real slow in order to get the motion going before I can walk. And used to all of that, I really did not like the pain of the bursitis. I didn't like the way I hobbled like an old woman, you know, when I get out of a chair. And now, I mean, not that I wouldn't be happy to not have it, but I'm happy to have it too. I'm happy. I'm happy with everything. And why am I happy? Because I don't perceive it as real. I don't perceive it as important in that way that it would be important if it was real. I perceive it as temporary, as here now, and as here now to be experienced. And to me, the word experience is now synonymous with enjoy. And I know that some people would say, how can you enjoy bursitis? And I don't know how to tell you that. I don't know how to put that into words for you, except to say you enjoy everything. But when we think that this life is real, every little detail, even stupid stuff that truly doesn't matter, even if this life was real, when we think this life is real, every little detail is so important. It has to be so perfect. We have to worry. We have to control. We have to manipulate. We have to make sure it happens our way. So the first line of the journal on number 703 says, interpretation that confuses reality and unreality is the source of delusion. And that, of course, is referring to what I called a moment ago the ego thought system. Interpretation that confuses reality and unreality, in other words, thinks the unreal is real. The thought system that thinks the unreal is real is the ego thought system. Interpretation that confuses reality and unreality is the source of delusion. Interpretation that clarifies reality, this would be the Holy Spirit thought system. Interpretation that clarifies reality, listen to these next four words, is the means of awakening. Do you hear that? It's the means. It's the bridge. It's the pathway. It's how, if we're facing in exactly the wrong direction, the Holy Spirit is the two hands that gently grabs our cheeks and turns our head to face a different direction. But the Holy Spirit is not awakening. It's the means. It's the means. Interpretation that confuses reality and unreality is the source of delusion. Interpretation that clarifies reality is the means of awakening. Now listen to this last sentence. In no interpretation, one is awake and without mind. Do you know why I was laughing this morning when Ron was having, you know, some bumbling a little bit, hanging my picture? Because I wasn't interpreting at all. And the laughter was just natural at the scene. If my mind had been interpreting at all, I would not have been laughing. You know, one possible interpretation was, oh no, he's not going to like doing this for me. I wouldn't laugh at that. Oh no, he's going to get mad in a minute. I wouldn't laugh at that. Oh no, he might fall. I wouldn't laugh at that. Oh, he's going to scratch the walls. I wouldn't laugh at that. I mean, I wouldn't laugh at anything that the mind would have had to say about that. The laughter was coming from no thought. There weren't thoughts. I didn't have thoughts like, oh, he looks stupid or anything. I wasn't laughing at him. Those thoughts weren't there either. This was just pure glee. And I find I do this more and more. Now, I've told Francine, who, as you all know, lives with me, I've told her sometimes I have to be careful because because people don't always know why I'm laughing. So I am learning sometimes to hold back from the laughter at times when other people who do have an interpreting mind might not get it. But everything is fun and funny to me, even my own bursitis. Or maybe not fun and funny isn't the right, not everything. I mean, I do see, I had a friend write to me today with a challenge that she's facing in her life, and I do see the challenge. But my feeling about that was, I wouldn't call it exactly fun or funny. I would say that the feeling, there was this heart willingness to go into that experience. Enjoy. So not exactly fun or funny, but listen to that. Heart willingness to go into that experience. Enjoy. So we have fun, funny, enjoy. I have another friend who wrote about an experience that I don't think I could put fun, funny, or enjoy to. Her daughter's best friend was shot in the back of the head by the boyfriend, and then the boyfriend killed the dog and then killed himself. The daughter did not die, or the daughter's friend did not die, but she's in the hospital in very grave condition. And I can't call that fun, funny, or enjoy. But I can find the willingness to go into that experience with the sense of all is well. Wellness. Even if this doesn't turn out in what people would physically call wellness. Wellness. Knowing wellness, no matter how it turns out. So now we have funny, fun, enjoy, wellness. Do you see how it's all open and it's all, you know, if you have to put either the word positive or negative on it, it's all positive. It's all open. It's all positive. And it all comes from not thinking about it. It all comes from no interpretation. Mind would be completely different with all of these experiences. Mind would have an awful lot to say, and it would be completely different. But no mind has an openness about it. So again, I'll read 703 from the Seven Steps to Awakening, and then I'll read the journal one more time, and then we will move on. When incorrect perception has come to an end, and when the sun of self-knowledge arises in the heart, know that the mind is reduced to naught. It is not seen again. Number 703 in the journal. Interpretation that confuses reality and unreality is the source of delusion. Interpretation that clarifies reality is the means of awakening. In no interpretation, one is awake and without mind. And I'll move on to 704. In the Seven Steps to Awakening, the mental conditioning has vanished. The mind has come to an end. That is the quote. The mental conditioning has vanished. The mind has come to an end. All right, here's what I wrote in the journal. Conditioning comes from belief in interpretation. Believing interpretation is always a mistake because interpretation is not reality. When one no longer believes any interpretation, one is awake and clear. One who does not believe any interpretation is free of conditioning. So I think it's really interesting and absolutely true. We talk about conditioning a lot, or at least some of us do. But this says conditioning comes from belief in interpretation. So conditioning does not come from the mind interpreting, because you know what the mind does? Interpret. If the mind interprets and we pay it no attention, if we pay no mind to the mind, then conditioning does not occur. conditioning occurs when we believe the mind. So, for example, let's say that unconsciously I believe that I am worthless and unlovable, that I interpret. Let me say it this way. Let's say the mind interprets that I am worthless and unlovable when someone is short-tempered with me, when they're annoyed with me, when they have no patience with me. My mind says, that's because you are unworthy and unlovable, and they know it. And, of course, I don't pay much attention, much direct attention to the fact that the mind's saying that. I blindly listen to the mind saying that, and I blindly believe it. So someone becomes annoyed with me, the mind quickly says, and I don't really see, you know, this is because you are unworthy and unlovable, right? Someone else becomes short-tempered with me, this is because you are unworthy and unlovable. Someone else shows frustration with me, this is because you are unworthy and unlovable. And each time the mind says this, I blindly believe it, blindly, because I'm not looking right at the fact the mind is saying it, right? I'm letting it in without directly looking at it and believing it. The type of conditioning that is going to result in, and I know that you all know this well, is me trying my best not to let anyone be frustrated or annoyed or short-tempered with me. I'm going to become the one who's running around trying to please everyone all of the time. And why am I running around trying to please everyone all of the time? Because I was conditioned by a thought that if someone is annoyed with me or frustrated with me or short-tempered with me, it means that I am unworthy and unlovable. I'm conditioned by believing an interpretation. Now, honestly, if someone gets short-tempered, quote with me, that part's not even true, but we'll go with it for a moment. If someone gets short-tempered with me, does that mean that I'm unlovable? No. It means they're listening to their own thoughts of annoyance and believe in them. They're believing this shouldn't be this way. This is taking too long. This is not what I wanted. Right? They're listening to their own thoughts and they're believing their thoughts. And as a result, they're becoming annoyed or short-tempered. It doesn't even have anything to do with me. And it certainly doesn't mean that I'm unworthy or unlovable. But now I'm running around trying to please the whole world because I'm conditioned. I'm conditioned that people have to be happy with me or else. So conditioning occurs when we believe the mind, when we believe the interpretation. Believing interpretation is always a mistake. Because interpretation is not reality. I talked about this morning when Ram was, you know, having a little bit of trouble hanging up a picture. And I mentioned that I was laughing not at him, just in the joy of the moment. I mean, I don't know how else to express that. There was joy in the moment and I was laughing in the joy of the moment. But that joy came from no interpretation. If I had the interpretation, oh no, he might become annoyed in a moment. Oh no, I'm the one who asked him to hang the picture. Oh no, I'm the one that lent the ladder. Oh no, I'm to blame. I'm guilty. You know, if that kind of stuff was happening, I couldn't have been in joy. And all of that would have been just my individual interpretation, not reality, just my individual way of looking at what was happening. And the reason that I know it's not reality is because this morning I had the experience without interpretation and I was in joy. The mistake that many of my friends make is believing the interpretation in their mind. When the mind says, oh no, he might become annoyed. Oh no, this is your fault. Oh no, you should have done it this way. The believing happens. Something else that occurred to me this morning, and I don't remember why. Maybe it was during church. Maybe it was triggered by something Dove said, but I don't even know that. But I remember this. I remember having this quick thought that it's so funny that I teach and I teach and I teach and I really only ever say a couple of things. I say, don't believe your mind. And I say that we are awareness. I think that's all I ever say. I say it a lot of different ways, with a lot of different stories, a lot of different words, but that's all I ever say. And I know, again, those of you who know me well know that sometimes I'm like, you know, when people invite me and they want me to teach somewhere and I've taught there before a few times, I'm like, why do you want me to come again? Why do you want to listen to me again? And the reason for that is because I'm not going to say anything different. Ever, as far as I know. And so here I go again. Saying that believing interpretation is always a mistake because interpretation is not reality. Here I go again, saying do not believe your mind when it tells you how unworthy you are. Do not believe your mind when it tells you how things should be. Do not believe your mind when it tells you you're not safe. Do not believe your mind when it says, oh no, you know, doomsday is coming in whatever way it says that. Do not believe your mind. Do not believe your mind. Do not believe your mind. It's just chattering and it has no idea what it's talking about. It's only trying to get your attention. And that's all that it's really doing. It's only trying to get your attention, and it will say anything if it thinks that you will listen. So again, 704 in the journal starts, conditioning comes from belief in interpretation. Believing interpretation is always a mistake because interpretation is not reality. When one no longer believes any interpretation. Now what's interesting about this next sentence is that it says when one no longer believes any interpretation. This again is pointing what I'm going to call beyond the Holy Spirit. Because as you know, the Course says we have two interpreters. The ego and the Holy Spirit. This says, when one no longer believes any interpretation. It can be helpful if you think of yourself as being like the space in the room. Probably every one of you is in a room right now. If one of you happens to be outside, this still works with the space outside. But look around in the room that you are in. or if you're outside, look around outside. And you're certainly going to see things. But then notice the space. And you have to do this intuitively because you can't see the space with your eyes. You can't reach out and grab a hold of the space with your hands. But you can be intuitively aware of the space. You can be aware of the space even though your senses cannot sense it. And when you're aware of the space, are you also aware that everything that happens in the room happens within the space? You can run into the room and run out of the room, and the space is untouched. The space remains the same. That's just like thoughts. They run into the mind and out of the mind. But you, being like the space in the room, are untouched. The things that happen in the room could be what the mind would call bad things. Like a murder-suicide can happen in a room. And the space is untouched. The things that happen in the space, in the room, could be something that we call very, very beautiful. Like a forgiveness. Two people who have not spoken to each other in 20 years finally get over whatever that story was that happened 20 years ago. They come together in a room, both now ready for complete, pure forgiveness. Forget about it. I just love you. And they embrace. The holiest spot on earth where an ancient hatred, right, becomes a present love. And the space in the room is still unaffected. You see, you are the space. You are beyond the ego, no doubt. But you are also beyond the Holy Spirit. Both the ego and the Holy Spirit thought systems occur temporarily in you. And when you see that, you cannot really say any longer that you believe the ego or that you believe the Holy Spirit. You see them appear, but you are beyond. When one no longer believes any interpretation, one is awake and clear. One who does not believe any interpretation is free of conditioning. So what does it mean to be free of conditioning? It means that you're able to just be in the moment in whatever way is natural. Like the way I laughed this morning, you know, when there was difficulty hanging the picture and I was in joy. To be in joy was natural. To be in worry that it's not working out the way it's supposed to or that I did something wrong by lending the ladder, that would have been conditioning. Conditioning comes from belief in interpretation. Believing interpretation is always a mistake because interpretation is not reality. I'm going to say that sentence again. Believing interpretation is always a mistake because interpretation is not reality. Let's see, I have NTI here too. I did pretty good in my temporary office. Let me share something with you from NTI. You know, some people think, oh, but you should believe the Holy Spirit. You should believe the Holy Spirit. Well, listen to what NTI says about that. This is NTI Revelation chapter 1. The world is an illusion. And so everything you experience as you let go of the world is illusion also. you are not to believe any of it. Helpful symbols will be given to guide you. This is where Holy Spirit comes in. This is where Jesus comes in. This is where Inner Ramana comes in, right? Helpful symbols will be given to guide you. Remember that they are only symbols. Follow them, realizing you know not where they lead. So you follow the Holy Spirit, but you don't believe the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. You are not to believe any of it, but helpful symbols will be given to guide you. Remember that they are only symbols. Follow them, realizing you know not where they lead. Do not idolize anything within the world, or any symbol, or any thought that is sent to lead you from the world. You are to keep... Do not idolize anything within the world, or any symbol, or any thought that is sent to lead you from the world. Hold to them as they are useful, but let them go when their usefulness has passed. You are to keep moving by letting go until you find yourself with nothing left to hold on to. One image that I always get in my mind when I'm reading that part of NTI is I think of Holy Spirit as being like monkey bars, right? The monkey bars are taking you to awakening, but the monkey bars are not awakening. But in order to cross the monkey bars, right, you have to hold on to a bar. But then when you grab on to the next monkey bar, you have to let go of the previous one. And so Holy Spirit sends what I would call, I'm going to call them higher and higher thoughts, right? You grab onto the first thought that Holy Spirit sends you and you use that thought for a time, but then Holy Spirit sends a higher thought and you grab onto the next monkey bar and you have to let go of the last one. And then Holy Spirit sends a higher thought and you have to grab onto that bar. But what happens when you get to the end of the monkey bars? You have to let go of all of them. Even everything Holy Spirit told you. In fact, NTI 2 Corinthians or NTI 1 Corinthians, NTI 1 Corinthians asks us to become the empty shell. It says we awaken by becoming the empty shell, empty of all thoughts. And it very clearly asks us to even let go of every thought that has come from the Holy Spirit. It says the only thing that you can hold on to is trust itself. And do you know what trust is? Trust is that sense that all is well. So you can let go of everything you ever learned. A Course in Miracles says the same thing, right? Lesson 189, paragraph 7, let go of everything you ever learned. Let go of everything that you think is true, everything that you think is false, right? Over and over and over. So we are not to believe the Holy Spirit, because if we were to believe it, we're making it true. We're idolizing it. We're going to hold on to it because it's true. We're not to believe the Holy Spirit. We're to know that the Holy Spirit is a temporary helpmate thought system that's pointing us in the direction to truth, and we follow where it goes. But we are going beyond interpretation completely. So let me read 704 from the journal quickly once again, and then I'll let go of the mic because my time is up. Conditioning comes from belief in interpretation. Believing interpretation is always a mistake because interpretation is not reality. When one no longer believes any interpretation, one is awake and clear. One who does not believe any interpretation is free of conditioning. That's it. Thanks a lot, everyone. See you later. Bye.